Thank you, guys. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And this morning we are looking at verses 14 through 20. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Might start reading just a little bit before that, but those are our focus verses. Mark 1, 14 through 20. Let's see. I think I'm going to go ahead and start reading, though, up at verse 9. Okay, so Mark 1, 9 is where I'll start reading. Are you there? Okay. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your mercy upon us and how you have already been meeting with us. And we pray that as we come before your word, that you would speak afresh to us. Open our ears to hear you, our hearts to receive you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to just quickly recall the baptism of Jesus and especially what happened at the baptism. And we talked a little bit last week about how John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. We talked about how Jesus left Nazareth and went down to the Jordan River and how he was baptized by John, that baptism of repentance, even though Jesus had nothing to repent from. And we talked a little bit about, we reflected on how when Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were torn open, and who tears open the heavens? God does. And how with God tearing open the heavens and the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus and resting upon him, and then Jesus hears this voice from heaven. And the voice says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And we saw how in that voice and in that the heavens being torn open, that there were a lot of echoes from the Old Testament. And last week we took a little bit of time and we read Isaiah 64, where there is this prayer, "Lord, rend the heavens, tear the heavens open and come down." And here in Jesus at his baptism, that prayer is being answered. The heavens being torn open and the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus. And we also saw in terms of "You are my Son," how that is an echo of Psalm 2, which was a coronation psalm for the king. And so Jesus hearing that voice from heaven, "You are my Son," it's God affirming to him that you are the King, you are the Messiah, you are the Anointed One. But then also that line, "Whom I love," an echo from Genesis 22, where God is telling Abraham to take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him to me. And how Jesus must have been hearing in those echoes that you are the King, but you're also the sacrificial Son. And then that third line from heaven, "With whom I am well pleased." And how that was an echo of Isaiah 42:1, the first of the servant songs, which culminates in Isaiah 53 in the suffering servant song. And how at Jesus' baptism, this identity, this mission is being confirmed and laid upon him, that you are my Son, you are the King, you're the sacrificial Son, you're the suffering servant, that is through you that I am bringing my kingdom, but it's going to involve sacrifice and suffering. is going to involve a cross. See, at Jesus' baptism, he receives affirmation, confirmation of his identity and of his mission. And from there, he goes into a time of testing, a time of temptation. And he comes out the other side of that, ready to announce, ready to embark upon this mission, this ministry. Now, also I want to call attention to when Jesus begins his ministry. Look with me at the line, verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Not sure exactly why Jesus waited until John was put in prison. Don't know how much of a time frame is in there between Jesus' baptism, John's imprisonment, and Jesus begins his ministry. But there's something that goes on, something that triggers when John is put in prison that Jesus realizes it's time. The fullness of time has come. It's time to embark upon this mission. It's time to start announcing that God's kingdom is at hand, that it's coming, that it's near. John was put in prison because he had been speaking to Herod about his adultery. And Herod had enough of hearing of it, and his adulterous wife had enough of hearing of it. And so the solution is, we'll shut John up by putting him in prison. And so here was John, who is out there in the wilderness, calling people to repent, calling people to get right and to get ready for God's kingdom to come. And when he's put in prison, something triggers in Jesus to where he realizes, okay, John has run his course, and now it's my turn to run. Now it's my turn to do what God has called me to do. And Jesus begins to preach, God's kingdom come. It's time. Now, we need to unpack a little bit this whole kingdom of God stuff. Because that's what Jesus is announcing. The kingdom of God is near. The time is fulfilled. The days are here. The kingdom of God is near. I don't know that we do very well at thinking about kingdom of God stuff. So let me try to take a different angle on it and see if this can get us a little closer to grasping it. We tend to ask the question, what time is it? Well, what I want to do is kind of reshift the question to whose time is it? Whose time is it? Now, how can I get at that better? Ira, what time is it?
11:58.
Okay, whose time is it? Now, what have you been talking about this morning? Well, during praises and pains.
School, yeah.
What about school? Oh, okay. What year are you? So whose time is it? It's senior time. It's your time. Okay? See, what I'm getting at is you've been on this journey, anticipating this day of graduation. Senior year comes. By the way, who had the lead part in that play at your school, The Wiz? You did. Whose time was that?
The Lord's time, but it was my time.
Your time. Okay. I mean, that's what I'm getting at. It was your time to shine. And did you shine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard you did. Okay. Now, did you have that role your ninth grade year when you were a puny little freshman? No. Because you weren't the senior, but when you're the senior, it's your time. And so you have this anticipation. Finally, it's your time. It's your time to shine. It's your time. And now it's about your time to walk and to graduate, and you are at the peak. It's your time. And then afterwards, well, that's another story. But it's your time. How many of you have been following the NBA playoffs? Okay, whose time was this supposed to be?
LeBron.
Okay, even nicknamed the King. Okay, so it was supposed to be the King's time. And they blew through the playoffs, beating everybody by double figures. MVP of the year. Best record in the East. Do they have a better record than the Lakers? Don't remember that. Second best record in the NBA. Best record in the East. MVP. His time. What happened? It's not his time yet. He thought it was his time. Cleveland thought it was their time. But lo and behold, it's not their time yet. I sure hope it's not Kobe's time. But that's another story. But do you get what I'm talking about? There come seasons when you're waiting and you're waiting and you're preparing and you're preparing and you're anticipating, and finally it's your time. This guy over in North Korea that's firing off these missiles, what does he think? He thinks it's his time. He thinks that things are in place to where he can do whatever he wants to do, that he's in power, that he has the goods, that it's his time. There's all of this, what should I say? There's all of this striving for whose time it is. So, on the international scene, the guy in Korea is saying, this is my time. This is my time to make my mark. This is my time to increase power. Ira over here at Lincoln High School, senior year, this is his time to make a mark. His time to show. Playoff time. Lakers are thinking, it's showtime again. It's our time. And LeBron is having to learn that it's not his time yet. And so he'll wait and he'll anticipate and he'll work towards his time. Now, the passage of scripture that Richard read for us, I don't know if you picked up on the language of it, but days are coming. These days aren't so good right now, but days are coming. And we find that language over and over and over in the Old Testament, where in those days, in that day, in that coming day, this anticipation of a time. And you know the time that they're anticipating? God's time. That's what they're anticipating. See, right now, where Jesus is at, here in the Gospel of Mark, whose time is it? Well, looks like it's Roman's time. They're the ones who are ruling. They're the ones who are running things. It's corrupt time. The people that Mark is writing for, they're there in Rome. Whose time is it? Nero's time. He's actually running things and he's actually putting Christians to death. Looks like it's his time. Jeremiah's days, it looked like it was Babylon's time. But what they're getting at is in those days, in that time, it will be God's time. And when it's God's time, God is going to move to put things right, to bring about justice, to bring about peace, to bring about righteousness, right relatedness, to bring about blessing. And the wicked will have things pulled out from under them, and those who have been trusting God will finally have all the blessing of God, the fullness of salvation and redemption. And did you hear what Jesus said? Jesus went to Galilee and Jesus started announcing, the time is here. It's fulfilled. And he started calling people to repent and to receive, to believe the gospel, the good news of God, that it's God's time. Now, another dimension, kingdom of God. It's time and it's rule. Okay? And when we tend to think kingdom, we tend to think more of space, more of land, more of kind of boundaries. Okay? But I want us to shift a little bit. So as we think time, whose time is it? We also begin to think about rule. that God is ruling in this time. Again, think about Ira. His time, who rules? Ira. Okay? He rules the play. He rules the school. I mean, it's his time. He rules that theater during the whiz. Okay? Who's ruling the NBA right now? Well, it looks like Lakers. We'll see. As far as I'm concerned, the Celtics are still champions until there's a new champion. But when it's your time, you rule. Okay, the guy in North Korea thinks it's his time, firing these missiles up. What's he thinking? It's my time to rule. I rule. So when we think about the kingdom of God and we think about in that day, what we also need to be thinking about is God's rule. That God is governing things, that God's rule is being received and accepted, that God is submitted to. And see, in Jesus' day, it didn't look like God was ruling. In Jesus' day, it looked like the Romans were ruling. It looked like evil was ruling. It looked like Satan was ruling. And what Jesus is announcing is, it's God's time, that God's rule is breaking in. That in the midst of this world, in the midst of this place, where it looks like it's somebody else's time and evil is ruling, in the midst of that, God is breaking in. And God is saying, it's my time and my rule is coming. It's here. And that is the good news of God. The good news of God, the gospel of God, isn't simply news about God. It's not just news that belongs to God. It's news that God is breaking in and saying, it's my time, and I'm ruling, and I'm bringing about my purposes, my day. And that means that there'll be justice and peace and forgiveness and righteousness. So this is what Jesus is announcing. Listen to it again. After John was put in prison, it looks like it's Herod's time. It looks like it's Rome's time. It looks like it's Satan's time. Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, the gospel of God, that the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. This call to repent, this call to believe, it's a call to reorganize your life according to the new time. It's a call to get on board with God's time. That you've been aligned with these other powers that are saying it's their time. But you're hearing that and you're turning from that. You're saying, I recognize that it's God's time and I believe this good news and I'm going to reorganize my life around Jesus. Because what Jesus is saying, and we'll see as we move through this, that it's through Jesus that God's time comes. That it's through Jesus, it's in Jesus that God's rule is brought about. The call to repent and believe is a call to follow Jesus. And you see where this goes. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees a couple of brothers fishing, casting their nets. And he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they drop their nets, and they follow him. See, the announcement to repent and believe, what does repenting and believing looks like? It looks like dropping everything and following Jesus. That God's time, that God's rule comes through Jesus. And so to believe that, to embrace that, is to follow Jesus. Two other brothers out in the boat with their father. Come, follow me. They leave their father, they leave the boat, they leave the family business, and they follow Jesus. Now, I want to talk about that for a moment, too. So God's kingdom, God's rule, God's time, it comes in and through Jesus. And Jesus calls them to follow, to make them, and as they do, he promises them, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, fishers of men. I think there's a couple things that we need to get at with that. It's about gathering. It's about gathering folks into the kingdom. It's about gathering folks to come around Jesus and to recognize that God's time and God's rule comes through Jesus. It's about calling them, if you want to share in God's time, come with us as we follow Jesus. If you want to have a share, a place in and under the rule of Jesus, come, follow Jesus with us. It's about gathering. There is a bit of an echo here of Jeremiah 16, which Richard read to us, about how he will make them fishers of men and hunters. And I don't know how far to push it, but there in Jeremiah 16, the way this is going to happen is that they're going to be kind of fished out, hunted out, and go through a judgment and be regathered, transformed. In one sense, that's what we're about as we fish for folks. It's not just about gathering a big group, but it's about the transformation. It's about coming under the judgment of God and being brought out the other side, transformed by God. So some of that's going in here, and we'll see that as we move through Mark. Now here's a question for you. Why these four brothers? You know, Jesus is preaching, going by the sea, sees these two guys casting their net. Come follow me. Why those two? Sees two other guys out there in the boat with their dad, calls them, they leave everything, they follow. Why those two? And what's missing here? A female? Okay. They're going to make the scene a little bit later. Okay. Nancy just got a job yesterday. Nancy, how'd you get your job? Had to wait a long time in line. What were you waiting in line for?
To get an interview.
And then what happened in the interview? Okay, and so why did they choose you over the other 300 and some people?
I'm qualified.
Okay, because you're qualified. That they saw something in you that placed you above everybody else. Okay, and so you got the job. What's missing here? There's no interviews. I mean, wouldn't you think Jesus would conduct some interviews? He's about ready to bring God's kingdom, God's time, God's rule, and he's calling people. Wouldn't you think he would run them through some type of interview process to figure out, okay, this one cuts it, that one doesn't?
He knows the heart. He really knows God's children.
So what I think is going on here is that the reason why they get called is because of who Jesus is. There's nothing that qualifies these guys more than anybody else. In fact, as we read through the gospel, we see over and over again that these guys really don't do so well. That they're really not that qualified. Peter talks a lot, but rarely does he back it up. And so we're left to realize that the reason why Jesus calls them isn't so much because of their outstanding qualifications, the reason why Jesus calls them is because of who Jesus is. That their calling is rooted in Jesus rather than rooted in their own abilities or qualifications. I think that's some good news. That Jesus doesn't look us up and down and decide whether or not we have the qualities, the abilities, the gifts, the graces, the training. Jesus doesn't look at us that way. Jesus calls us because of who he is. It doesn't depend upon how good I am, or how great I am, or what I can do, or what I have to contribute. He calls me because of who he is. I think I could push that even further and say that he loves me because of who he is. See, we're not that lovable. There's a lot about us that's not very lovable. And if Jesus only loved me because of my lovableness, I don't think that love would be that great deep, would be so deep. Jesus loves me because of who Jesus is. His heart is big enough for me and holds me even knowing who I am. Even knowing my weaknesses and knowing my strengths, his heart loves me. He loves me because of who he is. See, we need to hear that. That it's not about how qualified we are. It's not about how lovable we are. It's not about how desirable we might be. It's about Jesus. And he loves us, and he calls us, and he desires us, and that is rooted in him. And so that's not going to change. Whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, whether I'm living up to my words, or whether I'm falling on my words. See, Jesus' love for Peter and his call for Peter never changed. Even though Peter was up and down all the time, the call is rooted in who Jesus is. And so there's no interview. Come, follow me. Now, what do? They drop everything and they follow. That's what repentance looks like. That's what believing looks like. When you leave the old and you follow Jesus. Now, what else is missing here? Well, what's the backside of the interview? What do you want to know? You want to know a job description?
Compensation.
The hours. Benefits. Why should I follow you?
What am I going to get?
Yeah. The family business is pretty good. You know, you can make a living being a fisherman in the Sea of Galilee. And so we tend to operate that not only do we get interviewed for jobs, but we also interview to say, well, do I want to follow this guy? What's he going to offer me? What are the benefits? What's the cost going to be? I mean, we would expect that there would be kind of this reverse interview, maybe some negotiations take place, but what do we have? They drop everything and they follow Jesus. What do we need to hear in that? There's only one response that is fitting when Jesus calls. And that's to drop everything and to follow. No negotiating. Just follow. No deals. Just Leave and follow. Repent and follow. There's no other response to Jesus that's appropriate. When Jesus calls, either you follow or you don't. Either you recognize that it's God's time, it's Jesus' time, and I've been living under other people's time and other systems' times, and maybe even thinking it's my time, but to realize it's not my time, it's God's time. And it's time to surrender, it's time to let it go, it's time to follow. That's the only way into this future. That's the only way into those days. That's the only way into experiencing the blessing of God's rule in your life. It's to let go. It's to repent. It's to turn away. And to follow. God's rule comes into our lives as we repent and as we believe in Jesus. God's rule, God's time, it comes as we follow. And so you know what my question is, don't you? How well are we following? How are we doing at that point? How well do we recognize that, yeah, it's God's time, but it comes through following Jesus? And our world, in one sense, is not that much different than their world. As Jesus' world had everybody striving to claim the time, as Mark's church was living under Nero's claim of the time, yet they recognized it wasn't Nero's time. It was God's time in Jesus. And we have all kinds of powers, structures, claiming the time. But it's God's time. God's time comes in and through Jesus. And our way to receive that, repent and follow. And we come to know the rule of God in our lives. I invite you to stand with me. Like for our worship team, our youth worship band to come and lead us in the chorus, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And as they come and sing, invite you to come and receive communion, recognizing that God's time comes through Jesus, the crucified and risen one. So as they sing, I invite you to come, receive communion, return to your seats, and we'll take communion together.
Before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. will follow them and join me. Still I will follow, though none may join me. Still I will follow, though none may join me. Still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided,
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Sure.